Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near? O when within thy courts appear and see thy face? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first epistle general of Peter in the second chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, and that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, holy, and righteous God, before whom we appear when we come in the beginning of each new week, in the beginning of each new Sabbath day, to bow before thee, to worship thee, to acknowledge that thou art the living God, and that without thee we can do nothing. O thou who sittest upon the throne and who rulest in the heavens, but also here upon the earth, thou who hast all the power and all the might to put away the enemy, and yet who allowest that enemy to remain still for a short time, while thy children are brought out of darkness into thy marvelous light, while they are given to walk, may it be as strangers and as pilgrims on this earth, until they may be brought to enter into that country which is heavenly. O thou who art over all this, thou who hast made thy decree from before the foundation of the world, and thou who dost fulfill that decree step by step, moment by moment, day by day, until thou wilt come, until it is finished, until thou wilt show thyself in the end of this world, when thou wilt come to show thy glory and thy majesty, when thou wilt come in justice and in righteousness to judge the inhabitants of the world, and when men shall stand, shall rise from the dead, and those who are yet alive, they shall in one moment be changed. When the trump shall sound, and when all men shall gather for that great and awful judgment, O thou, the God of the heavens and of the earth, we attempt to draw nigh unto thee. It is thy Sabbath day. Thou givest it yet to us. Thou givest it yet to our children. Thou givest us yet thy word. We are warned. We are called. We are invited. Thou dost beseech us in thy goodness, in thy long suffering, to turn from our evil ways. But Lord, thou knowest what is in our heart. Thou knowest therefore what our life is, that it is still in the midst of rebellion in and of ourselves, and that we will never turn unto our Maker again. And we have left thee, O Lord, in paradise, and we have left thee in our father Adam, and it shall never be the choice of our depraved will to return again to thy favor, to thy communion. Lord, we stand in need, and we stand in need of thee, even in this morning hour, when we are called to worship thee, and we can but worship ourselves, and when we are called to love thee, and we do but love the world, and we do but love ourselves in our own name. Oh, when we are called to serve thee, but our hearts are filled with the service of all that is carnal and vain. O Lord, we need thee, and we need thee to be the first one, and we need thee to stretch forth thy mighty arm, and we need thee to speak, we need thee to begin, we need thee to apply to us that precious mediatorial work, which was accomplished by thine only begotten and thy beloved Son. O Lord, we need thee in this morning to stop us on our mad career and to turn us about, to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. O, we confess to thee, O Lord, and may it be from the inmost recesses of our hearts.
that our sin testifies against us, that it prevails from day to day, and that it is by our own fault that we lie in a dead state and condition. All we confess to thee, that may it be from the bottom of our hearts, that thou art so righteous and so just to cast us from thy eternal presence, away from thy holiness, away from thy majesty, to be separated from thee forever and forever in that place where the worm dieth not and that fire is not quenched. O Lord, we beseech of thee in this very morning hour under the institution of thee thyself, in thy own Sabbath day, when thou hast said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Lord, we beseech thee in this morning hour, when we try to come before thee in thy house of prayer, as thy servant did say, Lord, when they will beseech thee from this place, when wilt thou then hear from heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, wilt thou forgive. O Lord, wilt thou forgive all of our many, many sins that rise up against us, testifying against us day by day. O, who can put his hand unto his bosom and take it out clean? Lord, it shall be white. It shall be leprous as the snow. O, do instruct us in that wretched state and condition wherein we have brought ourselves. But, O, do hear us, Lord, from heaven, thy dwelling place, and be pleased to send forth a rich measure of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that we may look and that we may expect great things from thee, because thou art the Almighty God, and thou hast made a covenant that thou wilt surely fulfill. Oh, bestow it, Lord, upon us and upon our dear children, when it does not lie in our might and it does not lie in our power, but it all lies in thee. Oh, that our hope may be upon thee. Oh, give us that place in our inner chamber, that we may beseech thee for us and for our children and for our congregation, and mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. Oh, look upon us in thy dear Son. He is so white, O Lord, he is so ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000, and thou art so pleased in him. Oh, thou hast accepted his work. Thou hast seen the travail of his soul, and thou wast satisfied, and thou hast raised him again from the dead. Oh, and that we also may be the subjects of thy power in him. Oh, that we also with our children may be raised from the grave of that spiritual death. Then we shall begin to live, and then we shall begin to cry, and then we shall begin to look up unto thee, Lord. Then we shall begin to believe that thou art God and there is none else. Oh, then we shall begin to seek thee, and then we shall begin to run after thee. Lord, it would be to thy honor, it would be to thy glory, even in the midst of our congregation. Oh, it would be in the life of a young one, a child, an infant, it will be to thy glory in the life of the parents, of fathers and of mothers. It will be to thy glory in the heart and in the life of the aged ones who have sinned everything away. Oh, Lord, thy name would be so glorified. If thou only wouldst begin with us, we beseech thee then, take reasons out of thyself to look upon us as a congregation in mercy. Look also upon thy people. Lord, thou saidst, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Oh, then we can see the fulfillment of thy word in the days in which we do live. When thou must say to thy church today more than ever, O thou of little faith, Lord, they are also in the midst of us. Oh, perhaps we do not even know ourselves who that they are. But Lord, thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest also the week which we have entered in these moments, a week of preparation for thy holy supper. Lord, may thou go before those who are thine, whom thou hast loved, and whom thou hast called, brought from darkness into light. Lord, thou knowest what their life is. Thou knowest all that troubles them. Thou knowest also the wiles of the prince of darkness. Oh, then he does mock with thy church. Oh, touch him now and he will curse thee to thy face. Oh, Lord, remember thy people. Oh, suffer not the beast from the bottom of hell touch thy people, Lord. And may thou remember them in the week that we have entered. Oh, give to them something of that light into which thou hast brought them. Oh, they have received a little light into the knowledge of themselves, a little light into the depth of our fall in Adam. But Lord, they also need more light. Oh, they need that light from above, by thy Holy Spirit to shine upon them more and more, to increase that knowledge of self that they may decrease. But they need also that light that may shine in their soul, even upon thy dear Son and that cursed tree that was raised on that hill of Calvary. Oh, that thou would give thy people, Lord, a little light, a little inshining upon the person and upon the work of thy only begotten Son. Oh, that they may receive hope in him, that he might become all their expectation and all their desire, all that their hearts may be given to rejoice a little this day, that they may hear their own name not only, but their own name in that blessed relation to that name of the Son of God. All they as the sinner, and he as him that is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, Lord, then those two, they fit so together. Oh, then there is a suitability that may be experienced in the heart and in the life of thy people. Oh, that it may be experienced even in this morning hour, and that thou may go before us as a congregation in the week that lies before us. Lord, that we truly may be given to have a week of preparation, that we may be given to set aside all the things of this time, and that our hearts may meditate upon thee, upon our eternal state, upon what our relation is to the living God. Oh, that it may be profitable for our souls to meditate for a little while in our own places, in our own homes, that it may be profitable to hear something out of thy holy word in this morning and in this day. Lord, remember all those that mourn. Thou knowest all that is taken place. Also in the week that now lies behind us, when a dear a husband, but also a father and a grandfather to some in the midst of us, has been laid in the grave. Lord, flesh cannot miss flesh, but wilt thou comfort where this comfort is necessary. And may thou teach also and draw unto thyself through all of these ways. Wilt thou look then upon the widow in all of her affliction, and wilt thou be near unto her? Wilt thou look upon all those that mourn, all those that are lonely, widows, widowers, and orphans, in all the cares and all the sorrows and all the needs, that they may be upheld by thine everlasting arms, and all those that are afflicted and sick also, that are maybe even not able to gather with us in this morning, wilt thou give them a blessing in their own places. And Lord, wilt thou go before thy word over the length and the breadth of the whole world. In our own denomination, thou knowest, and we have met as a synod, and thou knowest all the decisions that had to be made. Lord, may thou bless that which was accomplished by our hands, and may thou thyself look upon us as a denomination, that thou would send forth more servants also amongst us, and give that old proven truth that is according to godliness and that is according to thy holy word. Oh, that we may be given with all thy servants to stand by that truth. Oh, that we may be given to speak with those two words, sin in Adam and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, then, what a preciousness will be experienced in the life of the poor when the gospel may be preached unto them. Lord, help, be with all thy servants over the length and breadth of the world, and us also in this morning. Lord, we beseech thee, who knowest all our circumstances and who knowest all what is lying in our hearts. And when we come here to speak and when we come here to listen, oh, we beseech thee, separate us for a few moments from all that is of time and sense and give us a clear view that we are upon a journey and that we go to a never-ending eternity. That the need of our souls may be so bound upon our hearts that we may receive ears to hear and hearts to understand this little portion of thy holy word, that it may be good to be together in the house of the Lord when thou wast feelingly and believingly in the midst of us. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. We announce, the Lord willing, a congregational meeting will be held in the church basement on Tuesday, September the 30th at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of finalizing the sale of the parsonage. Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
congregation next week, the Lord willing. Then we hope to commemorate together the Holy Supper of the Lord. And therefore, we enter in this Sabbath day upon a week of preparation. And why is such a week of preparation necessary? Well, it is necessary in the first place that we may examine ourselves. Because it is necessary in the first place that we have a church rite, that everything may be done decently and in order, that we may be a member of the congregation, that also we may be such in good standing that there is no offense brought to that table of the Lord. But we know it is necessary also that we have another rite, that is a rite from the Lord. Why? Because that food which is brought at that table, that is a spiritual food. And there is but one way for that food to be profitable for us. And that is if there is spiritual life, that we may be able to receive something of that spiritual food. Thus, that is in the first place. But now there is also something else, because even when that we may have a right from the Lord, God's people, they are so carnal. They are so of this earth, earthy. Thus, they have not only a state, but they have also a condition. And in that Holy Supper of the Lord, and man comes in a very special way into the presence of God. And God Himself, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, He is in a very special way present at that Holy Supper of the Lord. No, not in a physical way, but it is not our institution, but this is the institution of the Lord Jesus Himself. And therefore, He also is coming to give His blessing unto His people. And therefore, it is necessary that the people sanctify themselves. We read of that when they came into the presence of the Lord at Sinai, that the Lord required them to sanctify themselves, that they may come into His presence. And that is necessary for each of us every Sabbath day, but in a special way for that Holy Supper of the Lord. We wish with the help of the Lord to begin in this week of preparation with consideration of a few verses out of 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So far the words of our text. Peter's exhortation to those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious. First, to whom this exhortation comes. Second, what this exhortation contains. Peter's exhortation to those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious. First, to whom this exhortation comes. Second, what this exhortation contains. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That is a precious word. Peter, he is here alluding to the Old Testament. He is alluding to the words of David. And David in Psalm 34 said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Oh, taste it, he says. Taste. Taste, that is something very special. The Lord gives that to each of us that we may have taste. He has given us the ability to eat, that we may be nourished, that we may continue to live. But he has also given us at the same time the ability to taste our food. Why is it that the Lord gives us to taste that was not necessary? He could have left us without this ability to taste, and then we still could continue to live, to eat in this world. But now taste, what is that? Taste, that is a means of protection for us, because by taste, then we are able to know if something is rotten and therefore not good for our body, and that we will spew it out of our mouth. Thus, to taste, that gives a person the ability to discern, the ability to recognize whether something is good or whether something has turned into evil. A little child, even an infant, he knows his mother's milk. He cannot explain this to you. He cannot say who his mother is. But he knows when he is fed that which is not from his own mother. The Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The voice of a stranger that people do not know. How is that, young people? Maybe that you say, well, he is a child of God, or supposed to be. He makes a profession, but he knows so little. And I ask him a question about this doctrine, about that doctrine. He is not able to explain it. He is not able to give me a satisfactory answer. Oh, that may be. Even as a little child. And yet, what does Paul say? He says that the people, they have their senses exercised to discern good and bad. Thus, when the people, they may have tasted that the Lord is gracious, then it is a people who may know something by the experience of their life, even though they may not be able to bring it out with words. To taste. To taste is not only a means of protection for us, but to taste, that is also a means to draw us to the table. Is that not a wonder that even after the fall, that man is given to be able to still enjoy his food not only to receive it for his nourishment, but that he may receive that food also in a way of pleasure. He may taste it. That is, he may enjoy that food even after he has sinned and even after that he has rebelled against God. And that not only to draw him to that family table, no, but also a means to draw onto that table of the Lord. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That is why that people's place is not empty in the church. When the church is open on the Sabbath, even in the weekday, why? Because they have tasted something. They have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And when they have tasted this, then it is their desire that they may taste it again. Oh, as thirst the heart for cooling flood, we sang it. So longs my soul for that living God. Why? To taste. To taste thy grace. And when once we have tasted of that grace, then it is not sufficient for us that we may only receive that which is according to the mind, that which is according to the intellect. No, then we are not sufficient when we have come into the house of God, and when we may have learned this or that about philosophy or science or happenings in this world. No, then we want again to taste. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To taste, that is a means of knowing. When we taste, that is a means of knowing that is not able to be known in any other way. To taste something that is a different way of knowing than to learn it in any other manner. By tasting, a little child know something more real than a professor who is 100 years old. Oh, we all know this doctrine that the Lord is gracious because we have come to the catechism classes and we have been brought up under that doctrine, and we have learned that truth, and we have heard of the attributes of God, and we have also heard and learned that the Lord is gracious. Congregation, may you ever taste. May you ever taste that the Lord is gracious. How different is this? Luther said, doctrine is heaven. Why does he say doctrine is heaven? Because he knew what it was to taste the doctrines of that holy word of God. Oh, to taste. When David says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Then we hear the explanation. Then we hear what he has experienced in his life. Then he said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles." Oh, then David may so recommend the Lord when David may say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Parents, do our children know something more than we do? Has our little child perhaps once tasted that the Lord is good? And we go through this life with all the knowledge of how God leads his people, but that we have never had such a taste. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, that tasting, that is something, congregation, which is so personal. Oh, did you ever try, boys and girls? Maybe you should try that sometime. You try to describe how that something tastes. You try to describe this to your friend. You try to tell him all the characteristics of that taste. And then you will feel something. Then you will feel how short that you come. And then you will say to your friend, "Oh, my friend, I cannot tell you, I cannot explain to you. I do not have the words. I cannot give you." No, you must taste it. Because for taste, there is no substitute. And then we can impart that taste unto our neighbor, unto our friend. We can give him instruction, we can give him direction. But we cannot give him to taste. And we cannot give him to feel the delight and the joy of what it means to taste. We may hear 1,000 sermons of God's servants. We may sit at 1,000 gezelschaps with God's people. But if we have never tasted, then we still miss it. And we remain a stranger to that great blessing that the Lord is giving to his people here below. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There is a difference, a great difference, between common grace and saving grace. Common grace is something that you and I taste every day. We taste it, though we do not deserve the least of the blessings of the Lord. Then we are the recipients of that common grace. Even though we are so rebellious, still the Lord gives us all that is good. And what does it do to us? It hardens us. Take it for granted. We abuse it. That is not now the grace that Peter speaks about. That is not now the grace that is necessary to know something of in order that we may come unto that table of the Lord. Now Peter speaks here about saving grace. Have we ever tasted that saving grace? Say, when does a man taste this? Do you know when we first taste that saving grace? We first taste that saving grace in the day of our new birth. Then we have a little taste that the Lord is gracious. You say, young people, I do not understand. Is that not the day that we begin to believe that God lives? Is that not the day that I begin to believe that the wrath of God lies hard upon me? Is that not the day that the curses of God, they are opened up to me? Is that not the day that the tears, they begin to flow? Oh, that is true. That is so true. But now I ask you one question. What is the difference then between the day of the new birth and the day that that trumpet will sound, and we will stand at that judgment seat of God? That is also a day that we will feel something of the wrath of God. That is also a day that we are going to feel something of how heavy that the curse of God is upon sin. That is a day that our tears, they will begin to flow. What is the difference then? Well, on that day, we will not taste that the Lord is gracious. But in the day of that new birth, though it be ever so small, though it be just the smallest taste, then that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, in the midst of all their sorrow, in the midst of all their fear, in the midst of all of that experiencing of that anger and displeasure of the Lord, there is something, something of a taste, just a little taste, that the Lord is gracious. That is this taste that is keeping a man from an utter despair. It is this taste that is making that newborn, though the Lord is angry, that is making that newborn to draw near unto God, to seek Him, even though everything is against him. But they taste. No, they cannot explain the foundation. No, they cannot explain anything. But they taste something of the grace of God. Oh, it is so good. It is so good, congregation, young people. It is so good to turn unto God. True repentance, though it weeps in its inner chamber, that is so sweet. Why? Because in it there is a taste. If so be, Peter says, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and in the judgments of God, the people feel something. They taste a little bit of His mercy. And that wrath of God, that people taste. They taste something of His love. In the terror of the Lord that is upon them, they taste something of His comforts. And this is the reason. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This is the reason that the people would not exchange their way for the whole world. Because the whole world, with all its pleasures and seeming delights, does not draw their heart as this little taste. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Does it remain there? No. That is just the beginning. It
It is just the beginning of a life of tasting that the Lord is gracious. And the Lord is going to show them the origin of their graciousness in a triune God. The Lord is going to show them the foundation of their graciousness in His only begotten Son. And the Lord is going to show them the greatness of that graciousness over against all their iniquity. A lifelong lesson in the grace of God. No, not a lesson, boys and girls, as you receive in the school. Not a lesson as you may receive in the catechism classes. But the Lord is going to give them to taste. The Lord will give them to taste time and again that He is gracious. He will make them sorrow for their sin. Why? That they may taste that the Lord is gracious. He will instruct them in their guilt. Why? In order that they may taste that the Lord is gracious. He will uncover more and more of themselves from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. No fruit from this tree henceforth forever. Why? Oh, in order that they may taste that the Lord is gracious. Or He will bring their strength into the grave. He will make all their wisdom into foolishness. That life that goes through the sea. Why? That they may taste that the Lord is gracious. He will give that prince of darkness chain. He will give him a little leash, that He may vex His church. Why? That they may taste that the Lord is gracious. He will bring them before their judge, and He will allow the witnesses there to speak, that their expectation may be that they shall go eternally lost. Why? That they may taste that the Lord is gracious, and He will bring them before that throne of grace and of mercy, that He may reveal to them something of His only begotten Son, and He will apply unto them the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will open unto them the attributes of God. He will show unto them His countenance. He will show Himself through the lattice. He will kiss them with the kisses of His mouth. Why? That He may show them, that they may taste that the Lord is gracious. That is that lifelong lesson in the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do we know something? We know something. Is that a strange lesson to us? Have we never tasted anything that the Lord is gracious? Oh, congregation, then we must say, no place yet. Yet. At that holy supper of the Lord. Oh, it is still a day of grace. And we may still yet taste that the Lord is gracious. But there needs to be something in our life that we may see the preciousness of the objects that are set before us at that blessed table of the Lord. Let us sing. Psalter 292, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Wandering in the wilderness, Far they roamed the desert way, found no settled dwelling place, where in peace secure to stay, till with thirst and hunger pressed, courage sank within their breast. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 292.
Thank you.
Congregation, it is a week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, and therefore we are called each one to examine ourselves. And that has in the first place to do with the state of grace. And then we have heard that there is a people who have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That is then the fruit. The fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit. Do we also know this mark in our life? But now there's also something else. Then there is also a life of that people of the Lord. And when Paul speaks then to those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious, then he speaks also about the condition of their life. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Peter makes here an analogy. He compares the true church of God to a newborn babe. A babe, he says, that needs milk in order that he may grow. Well, we know that the Apostle Paul has also used this same analogy, but the Apostle Paul uses that analogy for quite a different purpose. Paul's analogy is actually a negative one. Paul says, "And I, brethren," that is, the Corinthians, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." That is, the babes, the young, the little ones in grace. He writes to the Hebrews, "For when for a time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." So Paul says, you have not penetrated sufficiently into the things of God. You have not risen to the higher knowledge of God in those spiritual matters. You remain just like little infants, little children that do not go beyond the first simple truths, and you need to be fed like a little child with milk instead of with meat at the table. Thus he makes this comparison in a negative way. Paul's analogy is very, very well known to us. But now it is not the same analogy as Peter is making here. Peter compares the church of God again to a newborn babe, to a small infant, but he has a completely different purpose. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Thus, Peter does not set this infancy over against the adulthood in the life of the children of God, as Paul does. But Peter sets this infancy of that new life over against the age of their old life. Thus, their former life, that old man who has become very mature, he says. Thus, he speaks about this infancy not in a negative way, as Paul does, but he speaks about this infancy in a positive manner. That is, the new life compared to that old life. And then he says that new life that needs to be nourished. It needs to grow. And then you must give milk to that new life. Then not just as milk in the beginning of that life, but that life that will always, that will be
the continual nourishment that is necessary that that new life may grow. Thus, Peter does not say that they should always remain children. No, he speaks here, uses two words. He says, the sincere milk of the word. So these two words, sincere and word. Sincere, that is, without guile. And the word here, the sincere milk of the word, actually is the word we would call logic or to reason, to be rational. Thus, he does not say you should remain as a little child who is ignorant, who does not know very much, no, but that you should desire that sincere, that upright, that guileless milk of the word, the teaching of the Spirit of the Lord through his word. What does Paul say? Paul says, be not children in understanding, but in malice, he says, be ye children. So Peter also says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes. Newborn babe. Children, you have a newborn babe in your house. In that heart of that newborn babe that lies all kinds of wickedness. Does not look so, does it? Yet it is. And yet, that child is not yet grown enough that he may be capable of what you and I are capable of being and doing. That is, to show what is in our heart. To show this malice, this guile, the hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking of. Peter says, that church, she ought to be just as that newborn babe, putting aside that old life. And now Peter says, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Then we may examine ourselves for this point. And then he says, if that truly may be, then he says, that you would become like a little newborn baby, that there would be nothing now between you and your neighbor, because that little baby, he has nothing congregation against anybody. Nothing. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. In the former chapter, Peter says that word that is the instrument of that new birth. And he says that word that is now also for the growth of that people. Thus, sacrament is not for their birth, but word and sacrament. That is why, that the word of God that is also always coming with that sacrament, that people may grow thereby. And now what does Peter say? He says, desire it. Desire it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And then in that week of preparation, then we know that before you, people of the Lord, we do not know who you are. But before that true church of God, there is set food. That is precious food. That is a sacrifice upon which that people may eat in a spiritual way. Precious food. It is the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, upon which that people may taste that the Lord is gracious in that Son of God. People of the Lord, do you have any desire? Do you have any desire? Oh, to taste again that the Lord is gracious. There was a time there was much desire. That was the time of first love. And then the Lord meant everything to you. But how is it now? Have you left that time of first love? There was a time. Solomon, he portrays the bridegroom knocking upon the door, the heart of that bride, open unto me. My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. And, oh, she is too lazy. No desire. No desire. She's lying on a bed of slothfulness. She says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Peter now exhorts that church, said desire. Desire that sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby when there is only a little desire. Oh, then the food, isn't that right, young people? When there is only a little desire, then that food that is set before us, then that is so precious unto us. And then it is profitable to us that we may well digest it, that we may grow thereby. But people of the Lord, how is it now when we are filled with the world? What does Solomon say? Solomon says that when we are full to the full soul, then he loathes the honeycomb, that sweet food, but he is full. And when we are now filled with the world, then where will there now be place and room for that precious food? And he exhorts the people to stir up themselves, that they may strengthen those things which remain and that are ready to die, that their treasure may be above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, that they may desire spiritual blessings, that it may be profitable unto their soul. You say, people of the Lord, that is the gift of God. I cannot give that to myself. That is true. That is so true that you learn, do you not, by a bitter experience, that you cannot give that to yourself, but the Lord also gives us means. Oh, meditation in this week. Meditation, setting a little time aside, a little separation from those lawful things that do encumber every day again. Meditation of a little bending your knees in your secret chamber before the Lord. Little reading of his own word and that which is given unto us by his servants that are long gone as newborn babes. Desire that sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, does that wonder not become greater all the time? Greater and greater if the Lord would ever come again, that you may taste again that the Lord is gracious. That was so for the bride when he put in his hand at the hole of the door. And then her bowels, they were moved for him. And then he left behind a little of that sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Oh, he is ever the first one. That is what that bride may experience Therefore, she says, Lord, draw me. Draw me. We will run after thee. And so that people may experience by moments here below, they may taste that the Lord is gracious to such a one as they are until they come to sit at that heavenly table. And there they shall feed, they shall feast upon the grace of God to a never-ending eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that we may also with our children taste of thy grace. Oh, then we will have to learn our own unworthiness. Lord, show it unto us. Otherwise, we see it not, we taste it not, we receive it not. Oh, convert us. Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely to our homes. Give us a desire to be together in this afternoon and help once again from above for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 417, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. Oh, let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace. Thou wilt provide. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 417.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.